He bent down at the foot of the stone monument, stubbed out his cigarillo on the earth, and left it there like an offering.
You used to make jokes. You don't anymore.
It's hard to find the jokes these days. Wednesday's dead. Are you coming inside?
Soon.
Nancy walked away, toward the motel. Shadow reached out his hand and touched the monument's stones. He dragged his big fingers across the cold brass plate. Then he turned and walked over to the tiny white church, walked through the open doorway into the darkness. He sat down in the nearest pew and closed his eyes and lowered his head, and thought about Laura, and about Wednesday, and about being alive. There was a click from behind him, and a scuff of shoe against earth. Shadow sat up and turned. Someone stood just outside the open doorway, a dark shape against the stars. Moonlight glinted from something metal.
You gonna shoot me?
Asked Shadow.
Jesus, I wish, said Mr. Town. It's only for self-defense. So you're praying? Have they got you thinking that they're gods? They aren't gods.
I wasn't praying, just thinking.
The way I figure it, they're mutations. Evolutionary experiments. A little hypnotic ability, a little hocus-pocus, and they can make people believe anything. Nothing to write home about. That's all. They die like men after all.
They always did,
said Shadow. He got up and Town took a step back. Shadow walked out of the little chapel and Mr. Town kept his distance.
Hey, do you know who Louise Brooks was?
Friend of yours?
Nope. She was a movie star from south of here.
Maybe she changed her name and became Liz Taylor or Sharon Stone or someone,
he suggested helpfully.
Maybe.
Shadow started to walk back to the motel. Town kept pace with him.
You should be back in prison. You should be on fucking death row.
I didn't kill your associates, but I'll tell you something a guy once told me back when I was in prison, something I've never forgotten.
And that is?
There was only one guy in the whole Bible Jesus ever personally promised a place with him in paradise. Not Peter, not Paul, not any of those guys. He was a convicted thief being executed. So don't knock the guys on death row. Maybe they know something you don't.
The driver stood by the Humvee.
Good night, gentlemen.
Night,
said Mr. Town. And then he said to Shadow,
I personally don't give a fuck about any of this. What I do is what Mr. World says. It's easier that way.
Shadow walked down the corridor to room 9. He unlocked the door, went inside.
Sorry, I thought this was my room.
It is,
said Media.
I was waiting for you.
He could see her hair in the moonlight and her pale face. She was sitting on his bed, primly.
I'll find another room.
I won't be here for long. I just thought it might be an appropriate time to make you an offer.
Okay. Make the offer.
Relax.
There was a smile in her voice.
You have such a stick up your butt. Look, Wednesday's dead. You don't owe anyone anything. Throw in with us. Time to come over to the winning team.
Shadow said nothing.
We can make you famous, Shadow. We can give you power over what people believe and say and wear and dream. You want to be the next Cary Grant? We can make that happen. We can make you the next Beatles.
I think I preferred it when you were offering to show me Lucy's tits, if that was you.
Ah.
I need my room back. Good night.
And then, of course,
she said, not moving,
we can turn it all around. We can make it bad for you. You could be a bad joke forever, Shadow. Or you could be remembered as a monster. You could be remembered forever, but as a Manson, a Hitler. How would you like that?
I'm sorry, ma'am, but I'm kind of tired. I'd be grateful if you'd leave now.
I offered you the world. When you're dying in a gutter, you remember that.
I'll make a point of it.
After she had gone, her perfume lingered. He lay on the bare mattress and thought about Laura, but whatever he thought about, Laura playing frisbee, Laura eating a root beer float without a spoon, Laura giggling, showing off the exotic underwear she had bought when she attended a travel agent's convention in Anaheim, always morphed in his mind into Laura sucking Robbie's cock as a truck slammed them off the road and into oblivion. And then he heard her words, and they hurt every time.
"You're not dead,"
said Laura in her quiet voice in his head.
"But I'm not sure that you're alive either."
There was a knock. Shadow got up and opened the door. It was the fat kid.
"Those hamburgers, they were just icky. Can you believe it? 50 miles from McDonald's. I didn't think there was anywhere in the world that was 50 miles from McDonald's."
"This place is turning into Grand Central Station. Okay, so I guess you're here to offer me the freedom of the internet if I come over to your side of the fence, right?"
The fat kid was shivering.
"No, you're already dead meat. You're a fucking illuminated gothic black-letter manuscript. You couldn't be hypertext if you tried. I'm synaptic, while you're synoptic."
He smelled strange, Shadow realized. There was a guy in the cell across the way whose name Shadow had never known. He had taken off all his clothes in the middle of the day and told everyone that he had been sent to take them away. The truly good ones, like him, in a silver spaceship to a perfect place. That had been the last time Shadow had seen him. The fat kid smelled like that guy.
"Are you here for a reason?"
"Just wanted to talk."
There was a whine in his voice.
"It's creepy in my room. That's all. It's creepy in there. 50 miles to a McDonald's. Can you believe that? Maybe I could stay in here with you."
"What about your friends from the limo? The ones who hit me? Shouldn't you ask them to stay with you?"
"The children wouldn't operate out here. We're in a dead zone."
"It's a while until midnight, and it's longer to dawn. I think maybe you need rest. I know I do."
The fat kid said nothing for a moment, then he nodded and walked out of the room. Shadow closed his door and locked it with the key. He lay back on the mattress. After a few moments, the noise began. It took him a few moments to figure out what it had to be, then he unlocked his door and walked out into the hallway. It was the fat kid, now back in his own room. It sounded like he was throwing something huge against the walls of the room. From the sounds, Shadow guessed that what he was throwing was himself.
"It's just me,"
he was sobbing. Or perhaps,
"It's just meat."
Shadow could not tell.
"Quiet!"
came a bellow from Chernabog's room down the hall. Shadow walked down to the lobby and out of the motel. He was tired. The driver still stood beside the Humvee, a dark shape in a peaked cap.
"Couldn't sleep, sir?"
"No."
"Cigarettes, sir?"
"No, thank you."
"You don't mind if I do?"
"Go right ahead."
The driver used a Bic disposable lighter, and it was in the yellow light of the flame that Shadow saw the man's face, actually saw it for the first time, and recognized him and began to understand. Shadow knew that thin face. He knew that there would be close-cropped orange hair beneath the black driver's cap, cut close to the scalp like the embers of a fire. He knew that when the man's lips smiled, they would crease into a network of rough scars.
"You're looking good, big guy,"
said the driver.
"Low-key?"
Shadow stared at his old cellmate warily. Prison friendships are good things. They get you through bad places and through dark times, but a prison friendship ends at the prison gates, and a prison friend who reappears in your life is at best a mixed blessing.
"Jesus, low-key Lysmith,"
said Shadow, and then he heard what he was saying and he understood.
"Low-key. Low-key Lysmith."
"You're slow, but you get there in the end,"
said Low-key. And his lips twisted into a crooked smile, and embers danced in the shadows of his eyes. They sat in Shadow's room in the abandoned motel, sitting on the bed at opposite ends of the mattress. The sounds from the fat kid's room had pretty much stopped.
"You lied to me,"
said Shadow.
"It's one of the things I'm good at,"
said Low-key.
"But you were lucky we were inside together. You would never have survived your first year without me."
"You couldn't have walked out if you wanted."
"It's easier just to do the time. You gotta understand the God thing. It's not magic. Not exactly. It's about focus. It's about being you. But the you that people believe in." It's about being the concentrated, magnified essence of you. It's about becoming thunder, or the power of a running horse, or wisdom. You take all the belief, all the prayers, and they become a kind of certainty, something that lets you become bigger, cooler, more than human. You crystallize. And then one day, they forget about you. And they don't believe in you, and they don't sacrifice, and they don't care. And the next thing you know, you're running a 3-card Monte game on the corner of Broadway and 43rd.
Why were you in my cell?
Coincidence, pure and simple. That was where they put me. You don't believe me? It's true.
And now you're a driver?
I do other stuff, too.
Driving for the opposition?
If you want to call them that, it depends where you're standing. The way I figure it, I'm driving for the winning team.
But you and Wednesday, you were from the same... You're both...
Norse Pantheon. We're both from the Norse Pantheon. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
So?
You must have been friends. Once.
No, we were never friends. I'm not sorry he's dead. He was just holding the rest of us back. With him gone, the rest of them are going to have to face up to the facts. It's change or die, evolve or perish. I'm all for evolution. It's the old change or die game. He's dead, war's over.
You weren't that stupid. You were always so sharp. Wednesday's death isn't going to end anything. It's just pushed all of the ones who were on the fence over the edge.
Mixing metaphors, Shadow. Bad habit.
Whatever. It's still true. Jesus. His death did in an instant what he'd spent the last few months trying to do. It united them. Gave them something to believe in.
Perhaps. As far as I know, the thinking on this side of the fence was that with the troublemaker out of the way, the trouble would also be gone. It's not any of my business, though. I just drive.
So tell me, why does everyone care about me? They act like I'm important. Why does it matter what I do?
You're an investment. You were important to us because you were important to Wednesday. As for the why of it, I don't think any of us know. He did. He's dead. Just another one of life's little mysteries.
I'm tired of mysteries.
Yeah? I think they add a kind of zest to the world, like salt in a stew.
So you're their driver. You drive for all of them?
Whoever needs me. It's a living.